Welcome, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet, starring the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Petella. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Again, as in our previous podcast, I would like to introduce Kelly DeSante, the president of Life Science, a company that has made available to us all, has been making a product that already exists for 35 years and has a very, very long history of success, a product called Body Biotics. Kelly, thank you and welcome.
Thank you, Martin. I'm so happy to be here again.
Awesome. So one of the things that I wanted to touch on was the impact of probiotics on mothers and infants. And one of the reasons is that it's kind of the Christmas season, and I went to a Christmas concert, and at the end of it, they had a presentation. They have a sister school, it was a school concert, and they have a sister school in Kenya. And so they did a presentation and some pictures of, you know, like the school before, which was a real mess, and then they built a new school and all the wonderful things that they had been doing. And it was almost a throwaway comment in it is they talked about how poor the food was and how like starving the people were when they started 5 years ago. And it was so bad, in fact, that one of the mothers could not produce any breast milk for her child. And so what they ended up doing was feeding the child water mixed with flour in a baby bottle. And
wow.
Yeah, and of course, the child was, when he grew up, like 5-6 years later, was severely, I shouldn't say severely, because I don't know that that's the case, but developmentally challenged, I guess would be a good way to put it, right? And so the IQ not where it should be, and motor skills not where it should be. And I thought, you know, flour and water is no substitute for everything in mother's milk, right?
For sure.
So,
well, in that depends.
It was really quite, you know, really quite sad. And
well, you know what's interesting is when a child is born, he's born with a sterile digestive tract. There are no creatures living on the inside of the uterus. But the moment the child comes out, he starts to be inoculated with the bacteria that he's supposed to have. And these bacteria are on the surface, you know, on the mother's breasts, in the milk itself, and everything that he touches. Of course, going through the birth canal, there are all kinds of creatures living in the vagina, so we will get coated with the creatures just in the passage. And the smart thing to have a newborn isn't to wash him in chlorinated water. The smart thing is to lick him. That's what natural mother does. And you see the cats and dogs and every other mother do with their newly born. They will actually lick them.
Right.
And, cleaning is part of it, but they are actually inoculating them with the necessary.
Oh, I never knew that.
To start the process of growing the bacterial protection. And, you know, we have the bacteria on our surface, on our skin, and on the inside. I don't know if you know these numbers, but there are allegedly about 100 trillion cells that compose a human body, and for each of the cells we have about 10 living bacteria in our digestive tract alone. So there would be something like 1,000 billion living creatures. In fact, about a third of the mass of the feces that you put out is in creatures, bacteria. It was a dry mess if you dry it out, not counting the water. Anyway.
So, Martin, you were saying like for every cell in our stomach, there's how many cells of bacteria?
10.
10?
10, yeah, 10 times. 10
wow.
times.
Wow.
There are cells in the body. If you think of, if you thought of the Earth as an organism, it currently carries about 7 billion humans, and I don't know what the trillions of ants and other small insects and such are, but huge numbers. And it's similar like that in the human body. The human body is a community of about 100 trillion of living cells and about a quadrillion of creatures that, that live inside and on the surface of us.
Wow. And we and spend a lot of time destroying those creatures, like basically clear-cutting forests. We clear-cut the forests of our stomach with all the stuff we, well, I guess that we eat, that we stick in our bodies, that we poke and drink.
Right, that the wrong kind of stuff that we do is wash with chlorinated water and drink it, and taking antibiotics and also taking poisons in forms of drugs. Strong drugs are causing a terrible amount of damage. Kelly, what,
yeah.
what about the relationship between body biotics or the soil-based organisms as it relates to newborns and mothers?
Well, I'll tell you what really got me started on this whole pre-pregnancy mothers-to-be or women wanting to get pregnant. And I take it all the way back to women who want to get pregnant because when you get on our body biotics, it detoxes the body. So you can't be doing that when you're having a baby, when you're already pregnant. And what really got me started was about 6 years ago, I was in London on a business trip, and I picked up their newspaper that morning at the door of my hotel room, and I opened it up, and there in black and white, it said, poisoned in the womb. Well, it took me back for a minute because it sort of was startling to read something that said poison in the womb, you know.
Yeah.
we think death comes soon enough, but my goodness, in the womb, you know. And of course, my first thoughts before I even read the article, I thought, oh, this must be about, you know, some druggie or, you know, someone who's on heroin or who's doing drugs or whatever, you know, because of course we know that drug babies have been a major problem around the world. And so that was what my first thoughts were. So then I start reading the article and it's like, oh my God, they're literally talking about, you know, any mother to be on average in England. And they have a high, high, high rate of autism in England, by the way. I don't know if you know that or not, or in the UK. Really high rate compared to the United States, although our rate has gone up and up and up. But in England, it's huge. And they were saying that the average woman that they were testing, that they had tested in this study that they did, carried with her 35 toxic, deadly chemicals into her baby when she gave birth to her baby. 35. That was
wow.
The average. I mean, that's, to me, mind-blowing. But then if you think about the tests that have been conducted just of late in the last few months, they've conducted these tests that talk about all of the drugs that actually is in our drinking water from drugs that, that you know, people are ingesting and then urinating, and then the water gets redone, you know, recycled or whatever they do, you know, purify it or whatever. But in all of the city waters around the United States, high levels of many, many, many drugs. Well, which, of course, goes to the bottom line of why we really need to filter our water in some different way. So there's no way to get around not, even if you're not a person who takes a drug or if you're a person who doesn't shower with chlorine or whatever, there's just so many ways to pollute the body. So when I read this, it was kind of sad to me because I thought, oh, my God, even when you try to be as healthy as you can before you get pregnant, you're not just giving life, you're giving a quality of life to this little tiny being that you're about to have, you know? And so how critically important is it for a mother or a woman who wants to be a mother to really go and take a hard look at what's going on in my body and to find some method by which she can clean up everything going on in her body so that when she gives birth to that baby has every chance in the world. And a couple of things that they're proving is, for example, there's some very serious studies and science that's coming about just in the last year that is suggesting that even obesity may stem partly at least from the lack of a particular bacteria that would help the person not to be obese. So if a mother is obese, then she may not have that friendly bacteria that she needs. Therefore, any child that she has is not going to have it. You see what I'm saying? And so something as important as obesity could be linked to this condition of the mother's microbiota or the microflora of the mother prior to giving birth. And so a mother would want to start body biotics at least 4 months prior to, and 6 months or 8 months would even be optimal if she, you know, were to find out about the body biotics and get on it early. Because what it does is it will go in, it'll clean up the system, it'll detox. We talked about the heavy metal detoxing, but it'll detox all kinds of things out of the body. It'll clean up the balance of friendly bacteria versus unfriendly bacteria so you have a better handle on the good bacteria that should be there and be the leading force of good health. And so by getting that body in really excellent shape and cleaning it up and restoring the various different organs and getting your own immune system at its optimal best, then you get pregnant, then what you're going to pass on is much greater help to your child. And I can give you an example of knowing for a fact that I've had several friends and or family members who've been on the probiotic long before having a baby, and they have given birth to extremely, extremely healthy babies. I mean, my daughter, for one, she had been on the product for maybe a year and a half before getting pregnant. She delivered her baby at the Mile High Hospital in Denver, Colorado. And just by the fact that the hospital is at, I think, I don't know how high exactly, but it's at this altitude that, you know, respiratory is a challenge sometimes for children. No matter how healthy the mother, that's a little bit of a challenge. And they did the testing for my grandson, and they gave him a 10+. And the doctor, he said he had been delivering babies for 24 years at this hospital. He says, I've never given a newborn anything higher than an 8.
Wow.
I mean, to me, that was like, whoa, that was, and then I've had several other friends, their daughters have had children, same kind of response that I've had from them. So it was pretty exciting to hear that kind of feedback from people.
Well, I was just thinking about what you were saying and discovered that in England, they're doing a study with 100 obese mums-to-be, and they're going to give them metformin, which is as part of a 3-year study to tackle obesity rates and reduce the number of difficult births. Patients at Liverpool Women's Hospital will be given the drug to reduce the food supply to their unborn babies, although it will not help the mums themselves to lose weight. It's about trying to improve outcomes in pregnancies for women who are overweight. And the problem, of course, is that overweight women tend to have overweight babies, and of course, that's a problem, getting the baby out, and they have extra or a lot more C-sections because of it. And it's just funny, like the whole time, they're going to be giving half the patients Metformin pills up to 3 times a day from 12 weeks gestation, while the other half will give a placebo drug. And they hope this will prevent the birth of oversized babies, thereby reducing the needs for C-sections. And I'm thinking like, wow, like I'm not even born yet, and they've got me on a diet drug.
I know. I know. That's It's amazing. And I understand, I mean, they're doing, you know, everything they can trying to figure out how to, you know, help people. And I certainly understand that. And as we all know, this whole alternative, healthy food, nutrition, lifestyle, you know, as someone said on television recently, when they hear you talking, you gotta change your lifestyle. They start running, you know. Mm-hmm. So there are better solutions and natural solutions, and we want to get people exposed to these natural solutions. But I know one thing: if I were a mother to be or a young woman wanting to have children today, this would be the first product I'd put in my body to get myself prepared for it.
You have just highlighted a really interesting point, which is addicts never want to stop being addicted. They will argue to their death for their addictions. And unfortunately, the addiction is to the industrial foods, because the industrial food manufacturers have created these foods that are addictive, whether it's through high salt content, high sugar content, high starch content, or MSG and other things. They are tweaking the foods so that they are more addictive than the ordinary natural food would be. That's what's so sad about all of this. And then the solution that's being offered to it is a pharmaceutical chemical solution, instead of pulling back and giving something that would be natural, would be preventing this issue in the first place. Oh well, hopefully we're not preaching just to the choir. Maybe this part got into the hands of some young women that are contemplating pregnancy, and they'll realize that when they get on something like the body biotics, they will start getting normal food cravings, normal reactions when you're digesting.
That's correct, Martin. That's exactly right. And that's what's exciting, because if you as the mother-to-be are craving the right foods, then you're going to definitely produce a child that's going to do the same thing. And I've noticed that even with my grandchildren, you know, they're not necessarily drawn to sweet things and sugary things. And I mean, my grandson, I noticed that he was very much drawn to really healthy foods. I mean, this kid eats greens, you know, and so it's interesting, though, because we as parents introduce them to ice cream and cakes, and not that everybody shouldn't enjoy a little sweet tooth every now and then, but we really do introduce these things into their diet that they normally wouldn't even be attracted to, quite frankly. So you're right about the addiction. The addiction starts from the very food itself, and that's a challenge here in America and in the world.
Indeed. And so going back to Scott's comment about flour and water mix, yes, that's definitely not what we're capable of digesting at that early stage. You don't have the enzymes in your digestive system to deal with it. They would have been better off if they tried to find some coconut water, coconut milk, coconut oil, because mothers were fairly high in fat, and that might have been a better combination. Of course, in a dire situation when all you have is nothing, you should probably find a neighbor who's breastfeeding, who has milk, let her suckle your child, rather than giving flour and water.
Yeah, it's a challenging situation there, and it's kind of sad, really sad, you know. But we have the same problem here in America. It just isn't talked about.
Indeed. The different problems than breastfed babies.
Right.
Anyway, I saw a study done by National Geographic. They went to somewhere far north, Alaska Eskimo, and they did the full panel analysis, 200 toxins of the umbilical cord blood of newborns, and every one of them had stuff in it that was toxic, dangerous, and awful. There's no getting away from it anywhere on this planet anymore. And doing a detox as a preparation to pregnancy is definitely a very nice thing to do.
Well, what I suggest to women who want to have a baby, who are getting ready, getting their bodies ready, is I suggest the body biotics, and then to get on something restorative, some kind of a living green food, and of course to get their diets right. But the body biotics and some kind of a living green food, which we have one, and Martin, I'm not sure, you know, what you have that you offer there at Life Enthusiasts in the line of green food, but those would be the combinations that, and then vitamin B, we have also a B complex with biotin, and biotin is really very important for mothers, for women who are pregnant. And so the body biotics, a living green of some sort, and then a B complex with biotin. Those are the three key things, that will help to prepare their body, for delivering a beautiful baby.
Indeed. Yes, there has been an association between spina bifida and deficiency in the vitamin B6. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and it just makes sense that if the mother is really healthy and getting all this good stuff, the baby will be benefiting from that, right?
That's right.
Oh, well, absolutely.
One thing is also iodine, which is associated with low birth weight and unwanted miscarriages. So,
right.
That's the one last thing I would tell mothers to get with iodine for sure. Whether it's seaweed or even the iodine tincture.
Right. And the thing is that what one of the reasons we're talking about this is because, of course, all the chemicals and so forth that we deal with every day. But the other thing is that about a year, a little over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, I mean, the American Medical Association was reporting that the children being born today, over 50% of them, or as much as 50% of them, before they were age 6, would be diabetic. Over as much as 50%. Now, that to me is staggering and totally unacceptable. And I think there's something dramatically that we can do about that.
Yeah, you need to understand that this is not a genetic problem. This is a cultural problem. It's caused by the very stupid recommendations from the nutritional and agricultural industries shoving these overly refined carbohydrates into people, causing terrible, terrible damage.
Yes.
Ugh.
Exactly.
I get so wound up when I hear things like that.
Well, and I think the other thing that we need to tell everybody is that it can be changed. I mean, this is just,
yeah,
that's the way it is, but it doesn't have to be the way it is. And as you were talking, you reminded me of my youngest son who came to live with me in when he went into grade 10, and he's now in about to begin, I think, second year university. And the change has been absolutely dramatic because there's no other way to describe him except round when he came to live with me. And it wasn't that he was necessarily lazy. I mean, he did a lot of skateboarding and biking and everything else. But unfortunately, in his previous environment, the easiest thing to get was taco chips and apple juice. And so unfortunately for him, or fortunately for him, depending on your perspective, those things were not available in his new home. And in about 8 months, he told me he lost 40 pounds. And I said, wow. I mean, because I kind of noticed, but on a day-to-day basis, you know, I don't really pay attention. And it wasn't my intention for him to lose weight or anything. I really hadn't thought. I mean, I have an intention of, you know, everyone being healthy and everything else, but I really hadn't thought about it at all. And I hadn't pushed him to lose weight or anything else. And I said, wow. I said, how did you do that? And he says, well, he said, the only thing I had to eat were oranges. And carrots. And there was no juice and water, right? Of course, and he would have this big glass of water that he'd be constantly filling up. And so he would be doing his regular, you know, activities and everything else, but instead of supplementing it with extra taco chips and pizza, he was supplementing it with oranges and carrots. And so he's since just, you know, got on a fitness kick for the last 3 years, and has been really, you know, eating clean and really careful about what he puts in his body and exercising. And now he's, you know, he's a very, very handsome, you know, well-formed young man. And I think what we have to do as parents is we have to give our children the environment where they can succeed, which means not filling the place up with chocolate bars and taco chips and pizzas because that's just easy, but filling it up with fruits and vegetables and making sure that they have water. And I, you know, aside from Exela, you know, in my water, I'll only drink water. And so, of course, my kids see that and they just imitate it. And both my sons drink a ton of water, and I think, and filtered water too. I should put that in as well.
Right.
And you know, and they put their nose up when I, you know, give them a drop of this or put a little iodine in the water or give them some tablet. You know, why do I have, you know, but you know, they take it and, you know, and then they come back for more. So I think it's great when we expose them to the good stuff as opposed to just the bad stuff.
I agree. So it's fantastic working with all of this and giving information to people is just really an exciting thing to do.
It sure is. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Kelly. Really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. And thank you, everybody, as well. If you want to know more about Bodybiotics, you can go to www.life-enthusiast.com. And under the products, you can go to supplements, probiotics, or under brands, you can go to brands, life science, and that'll take you to all the information about Bodybiotics. And you can find out more about the different products there and how probiotics can make a huge difference in your life. If you have any questions, you can call Martin direct at 866-543-3388 anytime from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're on the West Coast. So thanks for joining us, everybody. We look forward to having you next week with us, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.